Welcome back to episode 227, 227. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, this week, Fauci was in the headlines, Dr. Fauci, Tony Fauci. Apparently, yeah, there was Senator Ron Johnson, he's a Republican from Wisconsin, said that Dr. Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, overhyped the threat of HIV/AIDS in the 1980s and is using the same playbook in the present day COVID-19 hysteria, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. He made this comment on World AIDS Day. Apparently, it's an important day of all days. I wouldn't have known that, which mourns the victims of the disease, I guess. I guess when they die, it's more important than any other disease. Dr. Fauci appeared to be at a loss for words on CNN's Jack Tapper when he asked the doctor to respond to Senator Johnson's comments. And his response was, "How do you respond to something as preposterous as that?" Right? Overhyping AIDS? It killed over 750,000 Americans and 36 million people worldwide. You know, so how do you overhype that? So, of course, Senator Johnson didn't say AIDS never killed anybody. He said it was overhyped. And of course it was overhyped because Dr. Fauci said it was going to kill everybody. So how you respond to an accusation like that, which is hard to respond to when you're guilty of it, you don't respond to it. Of course, Jack Tapper, the garrulous, intrepid reporter that he is, didn't call him out on it. He just called the accusations, he used the term, it was bizarre or something, and adding his own editorial. So this is the type of public officials, or public health officials, or politicians, or government officials we have when we have a press which simply doesn't hold them accountable or ask any questions. So this is why we have someone as corrupt or as incompetent as Fauci in there so long, because there's no accountability. Fauci has served as a chief medical advisor for 6 different presidents. Senator Johnson said, overhyping COVID, it's already killed. Speaking for COVID, he said, overhyping COVID, Fauci said, it's already killed 780,000 Americans and over 5 million people worldwide. I don't have any clue to what he's talking about, Fauci said, referring to Johnson. Well, obviously there is a problem here, because he did make all these claims about AIDS in the 1980s that it was going to get spread into the heterosexual community, the broader population, if you will, basically it was just a very narrow group of the homosexual community that got it, because it had some more to do with their behavior than any particular virus that you could pick up at any given moment. And that's something that, that is still being covered up. But he said that you could get it through casual contact with family members. does that ring a bell, right? Yeah. By eating your sibling's cornflakes, you could catch AIDS. He even said that French kissing could spread it. And so all this he's not held accountable for. Senator Johnson, of course, was roundly condemned by in the mainstream media for these bizarre remarks, unfounded remarks, and these things. But finally, you have a senator who's at least calling him out on and holding accountable. That is his job as a senator, at least one would believe. But nevertheless, the mainstream press is still covering for him.
Yeah. Well, the mainstream press, the media, is simply part of the propaganda attack on our minds. It has been since CBS put the all-seeing eye out, on TV after World War II. Yeah. And so it shouldn't be surprising that Fauci gets these underhand, softball questions that when he gives completely incoherent answers, the newscaster simply agrees with Fauci, because this all just creates this illusion of reasonability. And it's fascinating, because you had mentioned you wanted to talk about Fauci this week. And so I had looked at some of the videos of Fauci during the AIDS epidemic, which I, was familiar with, because I was right in the midst of all that. I had gone from duck and cover with the nuclear bomb to get off the disco dance floor because the AIDS bomb was going to go off. You know, it was just one paranoid moment after another, it seemed like, with the Vietnam War sandwiched in between. So when the AIDS thing, you know, was presented, the media, you know, was very subtle, but it went along with the same line of and the same technique of propaganda that we're experiencing right now, which is to say that with AIDS, there was never, and I mean never, and this is, I can warrant this because I was experiencing the media during all this time and I was completely naive. I was believing everything I was being told, basically. They never talked about the behavior, the terrain that gay men and gay bathhouses were experiencing during this time. It was only long after, a decade after the real height of the hysteria, that I started reading about how degenerate in terms of biological health the behavior of the gay men was during this time. I read this one article, which just shocked me, that some researcher had found that there had been a median of, in this one bathhouse that he had analyzed, the median sex partners per capita each year was like 300, you know? And then so slowly you started to have the terrain concept as being influential in terms of the AIDS epidemic. And my point is that it was never mentioned once during this whole time. Homosexuality and the behavior of the homosexuals as the primary cause of the ill health was never even a concept, not a single time. And so now we have a redo, it seems to me, where you have a pandemic. Fauci's in charge. The media is giving him these softball questions with no attempt at accountability. And of course, in both instances, the evidence of the existence of the virus is the PCR test, right? Which, of course, as everyone who is aware now knows, is very easy to manipulate and to create false positives out of. And, you know, just to digress, I mean, it's just famous, Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR, calling out Fauci during the AIDS epidemic, mm-hmm. and just saying, this is outrageous. There is no, you know, Mullis was really, he got no publicity during the period. But after the fact, I started becoming aware that Mullis was trying to get Fauci into public questioning and debate, because he believed that he could easily expose him as a liar, right? He thought mm-hmm. that he thought that there was some financial or, you know, he didn't actually know. He didn't understand, you know, how evil Fauci might be, as he thought he was simply someone who had risen up and was defending his bureaucratic position. And he had achieved a place where he just didn't have the intellectual power, you know, to address the station he was at. But in any case, Mullis really called him out. And today, you know, you have like Robert Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. is kind of the operating in that regard. Not so much though, over the PCR test, though I have heard some of him criticize it. But, you know, so Fauci just continues to roll along. And, you know, I think he comes from just a very bad place. I think that he was, you know, selected long ago. He went from a Jesuit high school and college, which, you know, many people who are good have gone to Jesuit schools, but sometimes evil does pop out of that particular organization. But I think moreover, you know, he graduated from Cornell in 1966, right at the tail end of the Human Ecology Fund era with MK Ultra. And I'm sure that's where the training occurred, that then he went immediately into public service, into public infectious disease authority. And it seems to me that it was just a beeline. You know, he's an artificial character. He's someone whose capacity to act the role was created, and then the powerful forces just, you know, it's like Bill Gates. You know, he is just maintained by these forces in his role as an actor to present the propaganda about the outbreak of this infectious disease and to raise hysteria. And now he's a fixture, and I think a lot of the attack going forward against the way that the epidemic is being used as a cover for genocide is going to come at Fauci. I was just going to mention, Tim, the Rasmussen poll that came out this week was really very heartening. For the first time, over 50% of the people who were polled said that they didn't want to take the vaccine, even, and this included people who had already taken it. And the primary reason was fear of side effects. And the fraction who were really afraid of side effects was 27-28%. And this was juxtaposed to only, I think, like 20%. Who are strongly in favor of taking, you know, boosters and vaccines. So I would guess that group, this close to 30%, is the group that will survive, will not be forced into taking the booster or the vaccine. Because once you get to that point where you are really worried about the side effects, then it doesn't matter if Fauci comes on TV and, you know, talks about the glories of the booster and how this is going to end. I mean, no one who is at the point now is going to buy into Fauci's storyline. I think that we've really reached the line in the sand. The people who haven't taken it won't take it. The government knows this, and now obviously there'll be they will bring Fauci out to try to force us. They'll have all these approaches to mandate it. But I don't think that they're going to make much progress, unless they, go to, imprisonment or, something like that. Because if you are really afraid of the side effects, why in the world would you put something in your body like that?
Yeah. Well, the U.S. Senate voted 52-48 against the mandate, against the company, against private companies over 100 people. So I don't know what type of a direct impact that'll have. The Biden administration is losing the courts. Their attempt to use OSHA to do it failed. And of course, you have the various states now, I think as many as 30 now, who are challenging it. And so that's dead in the water. You have the Fifth Circuit Court ruling it illegal, unconstitutional. And so that's an indication, even if it goes as high as the Supreme Court might not even choose to hear the case, which means, dead in the water. And as you mentioned, the Rasmussen poll suggests that public support is eroding fast as it leaks out that this thing is really a toxic jab. But again, with Fauci, the press treats his pronouncements like they're infallible. When his entire career is one contradiction after another, and also the fact he's also been wrong about so many things. And he has overhyped everything. He overhyped AIDS. He was involved in the false swine flu epidemic, the Zika epidemic that never occurred. Remember the Zika virus? I think over $500 billion have been spent since the 1980s to find a vaccine for AIDS. Where has all that money gone? Do we have a vaccine? Well, as you mentioned, it wasn't a question of getting a vaccine. It was very clear from anyone who saw a patient, an AIDS patient in the early 80s, if they canvassed people what their lifestyle was like, what their diet was like, how many drugs were they taking, how many antibiotics were they on, how many drugs were they using, that they were suffering a wasting disease, their immune systems were collapsing because of their lifestyle. And then, of course, he worked with Burr as Welcome, Fauci did. It became a pretext for pulling AZT off the shelf, which had been shelved for being too deadly. It's chemotherapy. Chemotherapy only supposed to take for 2 weeks. Fauci said, let's give it to people for life. And of course, their lives are very short once they start taking AZT. And all the people, celebrities that we know died of AIDS, they were dying from AZT treatment, whether it's Rock Hudson or Freddie Mercury, all these figures in the 80s and 90s that died from this. And of course, those who cleaned up their act and didn't take AZT lived. Remember Magic Johnson, the basketball player? He got off it. And he's alive. No one's talking about that, you know. So, and he never got sick, by the way, because that goes to that whole problem with the diagnosis, the AIDS test. It was well known that, you know, a positive test in New York was a negative test across the border in Canada. So you could cure it yourself AIDS just by going across the border.
Kerry Mullis just went ballistic about this, about how,
he gave AZT to asymptomatic people who weren't sick. He gave it to pregnant women and killed them. There's that test. He gave these drugs to children, these foster care children who had no advocates, although they're supposed to legally, they didn't. And he killed about 100 kids, which no one hears about that.
I mean, they talk about Fauci with the beagles. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the beagle experiment where he puts them in this little cave, their heads, so they can't move, and let sand fleas eat them to see what reaction metabolically happens in the dog. I mean, that was almost a step up from what he did to the kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just grisly. So Fauci, you know, you have to, you know, there's no explanation for him as a public servant. I mean, Rachel Levine as an admiral is more coherent than Fauci is.
You had this Laura Logan, the news lady, she on Fox News. Yeah, she used to be for CBS and respected 60 Minutes, whatever. On Fox News compared Fauci to the infamous Dr. Joseph Mengele. And she's been canceled apparently because of that. Of course, Mengele is known for accused of conducting, you know, horrible experiments on prisoners or inmates at Auschwitz during the Second World War. He escaped to Argentina or South America after the war, was never caught. And I think he died in the late 70s, at least reportedly. So my reaction was, that's not fair to Dr. Mengele.
Of course not.
The problem with that whole Mengele narrative is, if you look into it, it's along with a lot of the Holocaust stuff, it just really is no solid evidence for some of the wild accusations that are made against him. I don't want to use the show to reconstruct the reputation of Joseph Mengele. Mengele is just one of these cases where you read into it, some of the ridiculous accusations, you know, of him experimenting on twins and these things, wild, you know, sewing people together and these things. Some of these things are just ridiculous if you think about it.
Well, the right context to understand Mengele is the table at Buchenwald, you know, where you have the shrunken heads and the human skin lampshade, which are demonstrably propaganda props.
Yes, fake. Yeah.
So if this is the case, then you get into Mengele's, you know, hair-raising, human experiments. You have to at least say, well, I want to see a very high standard of proof, you know, that these mm-hmm. that these events actually took place. And then if you look into it, you know, it's like the gas chambers. You keep trying to find evidence and you go, well, where is it? You know, where exactly? You know, there's a few people who want to come forward and make testimony, but, you know, okay, then it's possible, but boy, I sure don't see much there. Whereas with Fauci, I think that, if he was brought before a board of inquiry, I honestly believe that he could be, you know, executed for treason. I mean, his behavior is so demonstrably, criminal and treasonous, you know, because he's doing things deliberately against the government and the people of the United States. You just have to ask yourself, how can he possibly be propped up? It's one of these, clown world sorts of constructions that if you try to analyze Fauci as, you know, failed science, you're going to just waste a lot of energy and end up feeling miserable. But, you know, you just have to look at Fauci as an actor in a theatrical production for the purpose of propaganda. He's like the people in back of the table at Buchenwald with the shrunken heads. I mean, he's just there to terrify us. That's what is Fauci's role in the world? I mean, He's there to like identify infectious diseases, which apparently don't do anything except scare us.
And he's that was one of the things that that Robert Kennedy pointed out, is that infectious diseases were being really didn't present a major health threat if people's diets and their oral health was good, and that was what was occurring in the 20th century. And
look, it's amazing if you just look at COVID. And again, this goes exactly to the same moment and an issue that occurred during the AIDS epidemic, when the behavior of the homosexuals in the bathhouses wasn't ever discussed. Now you have you have people who are getting sick. They have positive PCR. They are obese. A lot of them have diabetes. They have an average 3.5 comorbidities, and you're focused on this little coronavirus. What about some discussion about trying to improve the health of the public? What about a discussion of the relationship between body mass index and severe infection from COVID?
Well, that's not part of the business model.
Well, there you go. It's exactly right. But you see, this shows that we're in a in a constructed reality, that this what we're being told is not real. Because if Fauci was a real doctor, someone who cares about humanity, he would forget to talk about this for like 18 months. These elements, which everyone can make adjustments with, simply changes in lifestyle and diet, that have a demonstrable 10 times more powerful effect than a vaccine. I mean, he's been touting the vaccine for over a year, and never once talking about just simple things that people could do to make themselves healthier and not have to worry about these kinds of viruses, or whatever you want to call coronavirus. This isn't real. This is not a real failure of a medical scientist. This is a success of a propagandist to create a story that is supported by other propagandists who are, playing roles as reporters and news broadcasters and politicians. And all together, they create this theater, which we then are stuck in and made frightened by. That's why the Rasmussen poll was really, I was just, delighted to see that, because that could never have happened in the 1950s. It happened today completely because the independent media, for all of its faults, has been able to get enough people to start thinking about the consequences of the vaccine, the long-term and short-term consequences of the vaccine. They've been exposing all of the fatalities, the bizarre side effects. They've been talking about the potential future of a damaged immune system, all of the things that Fauci should be talking about, right? On one hand, he doesn't talk about anything negative that can ever happen from the vaccine. And on the other hand, he's not talking about all the things that you could do so you didn't have to worry about the disease to start with, right? So it's all that's left is propaganda. But the Rasmussen poll, and bear in mind that this is a trend, this is a trend, and you can see where it'll go. You can see this is stuff we've been talking about for a year, that once the effects of the vaccine start becoming too hideous to hide, now the push to have people continue to take it with boosters becomes more and more crazy looking. It's too crazy to work as propaganda. It just isn't working any longer. And I think that this is, let's hope that there's still humanity in existence in 6 months, that the Rasmussen poll would even be far more swung to the point where, 70% of the people are saying, now the vaccine's too dangerous.
Well, another thing with Fauci is, and I guess it goes with the general response by public health authorities to the declared pandemic was their disregard for collateral damage that the response would have, particularly the lockdowns. Public health, public health is multidimensional, and so you to kind of focus on a single infectious disease or virus is not really good at public health. Dr. Fauci failed to properly, or at least he ignored, to weigh the disastrous effects of the lockdowns, which would have on other things like other medical treatment, cancer detection, cardiovascular treatment, diabetes, childhood diseases, mental health, drug overdose like opioids, just the psychological effect of it all. These are all things that have an effect on people's health, not to mention poverty. How many how many people fall into poverty? How many kids have starved to death around the world because of the lockdowns, the economic effects of these things? And Dr. Fauci just disregards this, saying, well, I don't consider economics. Well, how can you not consider in charge of public health and not bring in the fact that economics is, that's how people live. I mean, that's how you live day to day, how you feed yourself.
It's the primary terrain that creates.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest driver of disease is poverty. Yes.
I just wanted to interject a fact that I came across this last week. There have been 1 million additional alcoholics in the United States since the lockdown. And this is absolutely unprecedented, this increase in alcoholism. And these are, I don't know exactly how the study was able to identify them, but evidently it was a very, this is the normal way of registering the number of alcoholics, and this is how they're defined, a 1 million number increase. I mean, that is more misery and probably will lead to more death than the COVID, will. And yet, where was the discussion that the lockdown was going to have this kind of a consequence? Where was the discussion of we have to weigh in terms of public policy the good and the bad? This didn't have, we don't have the discussion about behavior of the homosexuals. We don't have the discussion about the side effects of the vaccine. And we don't have a discussion on the consequences of the lockdown. It's all the same thing. The public needs to, remember when they look at the mainstream media that they're dealing simply with a propaganda theater and try to expand and to support and to use only the independent media.
Yeah, one thing you talk about, what's holding Fauci accountable and why that's not going to happen. It was interesting earlier, it was last month, Senator Ted Cruz called for the Department of Justice to prosecute Dr. Fauci, who calls himself Mr. Science now, by the way. If you question Fauci, you're questioning science. He actually said that, by the way, last June. Now, this could be a symbol of someone who's thinking he's more important than he really is, than being a fall guy. That happens sometimes. But nevertheless, he has a feeling of immunity, if you will, in all this. It might be because calling Fauci to account for all this would mean incriminating and delegitimizing, the entire corrupt big pharma, public health bureaucracy, which is a huge part of the whole power structure. So therefore, no authority in the land is going to be going to do that. It also exposes Congress, because Congress has also been complicit. The politicians have been complicit in a lot of these false pandemics and the kickback schemes. They get contributions from big pharma. So the whole system is corrupt, which is why no one's really being held accountable for it. So you're not going to get a full account. It's almost like the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. You won't get a full, it's going to be a limited hangout, because to expose what all that operation is really about would reveal too much of what the system really is to the public. So they'll work out a limited hangout, and not really deal with all all the blackmail and bribery was about, which is about, controlling political systems by compromising people. Same thing with Fauci. But Fauci, Fauci is there. He's not a doctor. He's more like a businessman. He's there to at NIAID and NIH there to facilitate the marketing and distribution of drugs for big pharma, and that's what it's turned into. The these agencies have long since been captured by these industries, and you can just go by their, I think, was it NIH's budget? I think it's like user fees. 40% of its budget is comes from big pharma. I think 49%, yeah, like for over 45% of the CDC's budget is there to promote vaccines. Right. So they're not going to question the whole vaccine regime, not to mention this whole COVID thing. You have Bourla, who at Pfizer, I think we've talked about this. He suggested that people who criticize people who cast doubt on his company's vaccine are criminals, despite the fact his own company has paid out $2.3 billion in criminal fines over the years. But the skeptics are the criminals. And your old friend Peter Hotez suggested that there should be a law passed to make it illegal to criticize Dr. Fauci. Because he's science, you see.
Yeah. Hotez was in the media this week complaining that the Omicron is... not succumbing to the Pfizer vaccine, and that we're going to have to come up with a plan to get through the coming first quarter to keep our healthcare system intact.
Is there any evidence that Omicron is even serious? I mean, it sounds scary.
As far as I know, and I actually have looked into this, no one has died from it. So it has no to the best of my knowledge. It has no lethality, but you have to remember, in a movie, the diseases that you see, like in Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, those diseases don't actually have any real lethality either.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that you're not frightened, you know? And so this is, Hotez is just literally, just an actor in a theatrical production. And of course, he was saying, well, we're just gonna have to use a lot of boosters to get us through this crisis. I don't know. It's, I think that the people who have taken the vaccine will start to partition, I think, pretty quick. I do think that there's going to be a large fraction of them that are going to refuse to take it. And I think that that group is a really potent political powerhouse, that might be usable in the coming, struggle for, freedom. Because, they were probably reluctant in the beginning to take the vaccine, and now they're being pushed to take the booster. They may have had a bad side effect the first time. They may have done it just because it's the only way to have employment, and now they're looking at this booster. And then of course Fauci makes a claim that we're going to have to change the definition of fully vaccinated, right?
Yes.
So. This could actually upset a few people. One can imagine that.
Well, you're not fully vaccinated. What's fully vaccinated?
How would you like to have a bad side effect from like a Pfizer, the second dose, and then be told that you're not going to be able to go in and buy Doritos in your grocery store because you're not fully vaccinated. You have to take the booster. To underline this concern I have, we just have to hold the line, hold our ground, because the longer this goes, the crazier they will look, and the crazier will the behavior will become, and the requests. I mean, obviously this booster isn't going to do anything except kill a lot of people, and whatever they think the virus is, it'll just come right back, so the booster will go down. And then people, I think, will realize, those whose minds are still functioning, that this is just never ending. It's obviously, there will always be new variants, and there will always be the need to take boosters. And every time I take one, I get sick or am close to dying. And many people I know are dropping. So I think that, we just have to, people have to find a way to survive.
Yeah, the Prime Minister of New Zealand said something to that effect, that it's never ending. And yeah, I think
this was after she made the concession, the critical concession, Jacinda Ardern, the Freemason witch. She said that this is very important in the holiday season, that she said that it was now possible for the vaccinated who are visiting people in their homes, they could use the restrooms.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So this was the liberation that the people had been hoping to have, where now if you were visiting someone, you didn't have to hold it until you got back home.
Well, apparently, I read somewhere that her net worth amazingly increased from $800,000 to $25 million in the past 2 years. Does that something?
Shrewd Investments. I mean, she is like one of the most bizarre Freemason witches like you can imagine. If you look into her background, it's just, she's like she makes Bill Gates look real and legitimate. I mean, she was just handpicked.
Didn't she graduate from that World Economic Forum leadership, leadership program?
And yeah, absolutely. But under a Freemason scholarship, and Freemason scholarships the entire career as a student. And then she went straight to work for Tony Blair, direct to Tony Blair. At which point, after the World Economic Forum tutelage, then she turns around and comes back to New Zealand and is touted politically. And next thing you know, she's prime minister. Amazing. Rags to riches, Tim. And then, with luck is still on her side, and she ends up with $25 million in her checking account. So the
public... Well, I mean, figures like Tony Fauci and Jacinda Ahern prove that anybody can become a shill for the New World Order. And,
yeah, that's right.
Anyone can make it big in this system, right? If they're willing to sell out humanity.
As long as you have a data, and you're willing to get your hands dirty. But I mean, someone like her, and Fauci. I mean, Fauci's name is interesting, and where he comes from. I can't say, I have to use conjecture here, but I mean, his name actually means sickle in Italian, particularly in the area where his family comes from, Sicily, and it's a euphemism for the Grim Reaper. So Fauci is an interesting last name for the family. They purport to be Christians. I looked at the burial stones going back a few generations, not a single crucifix on any of them. So it's odd because, Italian Catholics tend to do that with gravestones, but not here. And they have
Joe Biden's Catholic too. So
yeah, that's right. So it's a broad, it's a broad religion. It has a broad tent. There's many different kinds of people in it. But anyway, so I think that Fauci is from the propaganda due, converso kind of background. I mean, I'd like to get a DNA test on this guy to see exactly where he comes from. I don't think he's not a real Italian Catholic family. There's something completely berserk about all of this. And I do think that someone like Fauci really has to have training. That's why you look at his, his schooling at Cornell during the MK Ultra era. Mm-hmm. And you have to think it may have, been going on at that point, some kind of training, because, man, this guy has to be cold-blooded. I mean, you're talking about, when you think about Fauci from the perspective of an independent, critic of him, looking at the consequences of what he has done. Think of how much blood is on this guy's hands. I mean, this is, you talk about Dr. Mengele. I mean, you would need a globe of Dr. Mengele's to kill and to cause as much carnage as this guy has done. So he is, he really is a psychopath in training, if not in fact. I mean, he's just incredibly cold-blooded. But this is what we're up against. We're up against an army that of a political class that has been, is controlled and has got the actors inside of it to accept vast amount of murder, real large scale depopulation kind of murder, because already the lockdowns and now the vaccines. I mean, I don't know what the body count is, but it's, it's getting up there. We're probably over, 20 million have either died or have really serious, consequences. So this is genocide, and the people who are promoting it are, have the moral capacity to engage in it.
Yeah, there's a Lancet study comparing vaccinated and unvaccinated people in Sweden, 1.6 million individuals over 9 months showed that the protection against symptomatic COVID-19 declined with time, such that by 6 months, some of the more vulnerable vaccinated groups were at a greater risk than the unvaccinated peers. Doctors are calling this phenomenon in a repeatedly vaccinated immune erosion or acquired immune deficiency. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, where have we heard that before? Yeah.
So it's vaccination acquired immune deficiency, VAIDS, accounting for the elevated incidence of myocarditis and other post-vaccine illnesses, overall deaths. So basically a lot of these illnesses and deaths that you're not going to call COVID are related to the vaccines because your overall immune system is being eroded, destroyed, and you're getting sick. And it's causing tissue damage because of the blood clotting and these things. So it's rapidly resulting in death or more slowly resulting in chronic illness. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. points out in his book, and this is an interesting statistic, is the incidence of chronic illnesses in the United States. I think it was 12% when Fauci took his position in the 1980s, and now it's 54%. Yeah. So it's the norm to have chronic illnesses now in the United States. Under Fauci's watch.
We're going to have to really watch the statistics because it's starting to clear up. They have all cases mortality. That's one of the statistics that's really going to clarify the effects of the vaccine.
More people died after the vaccine was introduced than before.
You have historical baselines of you know, like just death rates of nations. And suddenly there's been an explosion, which is, you know, basically directly related to the point in time when the vaccine was introduced and has been steadily increasing. I mean, this is what you and I talked about over a year ago about the time when the rollout of the vaccine was over and the death rate of the population was starting to go up at a quick rate. That would be when you would know you're really into the effects of the vaccine and the genocide. And I think we're looking at the all cases death in the UK and in Austria and in Germany. I think we're right there. We're starting to see they're not COVID deaths and they're not directly related to the vaccine. They are basically caused by a failing immune system.
Well, kids have strokes too, right?
They do all the time. They drop like flies, you know. So do like 20-year-old soccer players, you know.
That happens all the time.
And then for the for the CDC to gaslight with these advertising campaigns so that people would be quickly normalized to kids dropping dead of strokes in kindergarten or at professional athletes who were trained aerobically, during performances, during games. I mean, this is just preposterous. I don't think that this could have much effect on anyone but the most completely enthralled, you know, victim of the new age propaganda. I mean, there are some people who will buy into that kind of gaslighting, but this is just going to, in my opinion, it's diminishing returns time. And now you're going to see when they try stuff like that, that will accelerate the decline in ratings that the Rasmussen poll has indicated is going on. So this is actually, you know, excellent in my opinion. I mean, you know, people, you know, they seem to, sometimes they're disheartened, you know, like, oh my God, you know, they have all, but look at the steady progress that we're making. I mean, just the degree of the recall of the mandates in the United States is very heartening. It's going to be really tough for them to force the vaccine down our throat because there's so many little groups that have been successful in fighting it off. It's hard to get momentum going again. Unlike Austria, Germany, where you have, you know, people are probably going to have to face it there, going to have to fight it there. But anyway, so, you know, we just have to continue to watch closely these numbers of because they can hide almost everything. You know, they have like in this local hospital, Ventura Hospital, I talked about it a month ago, where you had whistleblowers come out and say, look, everyone inside the hospital is dying, has been vaccinated. These are vaccinated injuries. It's exploding. They won't let us talk about it. I'm sure that kind of pressure is everywhere. But a death is a death. And when you start seeing the all cases mortality track, you know, to levels that are, you know, demand an explanation, then we really, I think, can go to the public and say, look, you know, the genocide should be clear enough, right? We have to take action immediately against the political class.
Well, there was that nurse, was it Slovenia, who claimed that the vaccine, a third is a placebo that's being released.
Yeah.
A third is, I guess, toxic. And a third is just, I guess, neutral. I don't know what she broke it down. I forget which one it was. But she said a third of it was a placebo, which would be, in, you know, given to like Joe Biden or something. I don't know. They want some of the.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they can control, like, you know, they have like the, a lot of the athletes who've dropped dead were vaccinated, I think, before there was, you know, there was much organization in this area. Excuse me. I mean, I think like the NBA, you know, they had a lot of publicity about it. They could easily arrange to have these athletes given placebos,
mm-hmm.
because it's simply a, you know, everyone's doing it kind of propaganda moment.
Yeah.
They don't want these athletes to die out on the court. They don't want LeBron James to be going for a fast break and face plant, you know,
yeah.
and put the paddles on. I mean, this would create vaccine hesitancy. So this is very, very easy to control, you know, and it's these, it's been, in fact, I've been surprised how spectacular the athletes' deaths has been. It shows that they can't control everything because, you know, when you're trying to, you know, genocide the world, a few things will slip through the cracks. But I just think we have to look at different numbers. You know, we have to just start paying attention to, you know, like the people that I think are really valuable here are the morticians, because, you know, they can gaslight the aggregate numbers, right? They can just put out a number that's fake and say, well, that's, you know, we didn't have that many deaths. And, you know, that's just believing what I tell you. But the morticians are all now, you know, coming out and whistleblowing and saying, look, we're just seeing spectacular rises in deaths, you know.
Yeah, there's this is from Robert F. Kennedy's book on Fauci, the real Fauci, regarding the testing on the children. He writes, the pharmaceutical industry remunerated the Incarnation Children's Center for supplying children for the test. Kennedy writes, the test involved giving children experimental drugs that were toxic. They're known to cause a genetic mutation, organ failure, bone marrow death, bodily deformations, brain damage, fatal skin disorders. Torch is not strong a word to describe what happened to these children. If the children refuse the drugs, says Kennedy, they're held down and force fed. If the children continue to resist, they're taken to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where a surgeon puts a plastic tube through their abdominal wall into their stomachs. From then on, the drugs are injected directly into their stomachs. This wasn't science fiction or a sick horror movie, says Kennedy, but Fauci funded AIDS research. Many of these children died as a result of the research. Investigative journalist Vera Shirov, who spent years investigating all of this, told Kennedy that Fauci just brushed all those dead babies under the rug. There were collateral damage in his career ambitions. She said at least 80 children died from Fauci's drug torture chamber in the Manhattan foster home alone. You probably never heard of this, but the BBC produced a documentary of the savage barbarity of Dr. Fauci's science projects in 2004 entitled Guinea Pig Kids. The BBC investigative journalist said in the documentary that I found the mass graves at Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a very large pit with astroturf thrown over it. Under one, you could see dozens of plain wooden coffins. There may have been 100 of them.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I would just criticize Kennedy's understanding. It wasn't done as a failed medical, you know, experiment. This isn't failure of science. They're learning how to kill people. This is why they're experimenting in this way. This is like the experiments in MK Ultra. You know, this isn't. They're not trying to figure out how to take us to a healthier, better world.
Mm-hmm.
All these experiments are being done with the idea of like, well, what's lethal, how you can kill more easily, what can, you know, be done on a mass scale. I mean, these are genocidists in training, and they're trying to use science, or what they would purport as science, to develop technique You know, that's the lethal technique. I mean, that's what I think the vaccine is. I think the vaccine is a piece de resistance.
It's like this article reminds us that it says today Fauci is longtime vaccine manufacturing billionaire partner Bill Gates, big pharma, and the World Economic Forum are desperately campaigning to have every child in the world, even infants, injected with their latest vaccine. These are the same people who have publicly fantasized about all of humans someday having implanted digital ID in their bodies to achieve their goal of transhumanism. They say they want a digital ID implanted into everyone for the purposes of government monitoring of all human behavior by the same kind of super international governmental institution. And so, you know, when you talk about like injecting kids, these Fauci was the guy who subjected these kids to medical torture.
Yeah, and parents that commit this are...
Well, these were foster kids. They had no...
Yeah. I know that in that instance. But I'm talking about the vaccine, about the current rollout, and there are parents that are permitting, you know, kids, you know, under 18 to have this, the clot shot. Boy, that is really poor parenting. The fact is that, you know,
even if you buy in the full COVID narrative, the risk to that cohort is so slim, that's far, you have a far greater risk of having a medical issue if you get the shot. And they even admit that.
Of course.
Why would you?
That is at the acute level. In other words, that's what you're talking about over the next like 6 months, that it's just a very bad bet, right? Because the COVID is going to hurt them and the vaccine might. But you have to look at what will happen to their immune system over the course of like a 60-year lifespan, right? Going forward, I mean, you are committing the worst kind of antigenic original sin. I'm not sure you know what the expression is, but means. But the, you know, the fact is that you really can't mess around with the immune system. You have to be very, very careful, and only apply it under very precise moments, you know, to try to get vaccines. And these would be live attenuated vaccines if you believe in that approach. But the problem is that the immune system then will be frozen at that point. It will have, a reaction to viruses that it meets in the future, starting out with the one that it has been vaccinated to. Mm-hmm. And if that response is inappropriate, the adaptive immune system is not going to be able to get in quickly enough to fix the thing. And so the kids will suffer basically with kind of autoimmune disorder for the rest of their lives.
That's lifetime customers.
You're talking about customers. They'll need boosters every day. I mean, it is just... You know,
well, it's getting to that point, isn't it? They're saying within a month, 2 months, like I think Great Britain is on the fourth booster now or something.
Yeah, well, they talk about boosters biannually. And in, I believe it's in the UK, they talk about every 3 months. Well, I can tell you, because I've actually interviewed 4 people who've had boosters, no one's going to make it 2 years with a booster every 3 months. I mean, the side effects are really strong and they will compound. Just like there was a huge difference between the first and the second clot shot with the original, you know, rollout. Every person I talked to said that the response they had to the booster was stronger than to the second shot. Tim, by the time you get to the fourth shot, you may as well just check yourself into the hospital right on the spot. Because I'm telling you, unless you get a placebo, these things are, you know, you just can't have trillions of these spike proteins coursing through your body. The spike protein is a pathogen. It's been identified. But you know, again, this goes to the kind of the, not just the news blackout, but the intelligence blackout that the media is able to hoist over, you know, the public. The scientists determined after the fact, they go, you know, the spike protein is really a very damaging part of the virus, this little spike protein. Well, they didn't mention that during, you know, the rollout of the vaccine. This was this purportedly was discovered after the fact. Well, since this is the case, don't you think we need to do a few new safety trials to see what exactly this thing does when it roars through the body, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks, trillions of these things? But no, they just keep going forward, even though now, you know, it's been, you know, everyone says, well, yeah, it's hard on the body. I mean, the Moderna vaccine is banned in several nations because it produces myocarditis. They're not questioning the whether or not it occurs. It's just the frequency. Well, wait a second. You are now going to do boosters every twice a year, four times a year? Are you kidding me? You think you're, I mean, this is literally Russian roulette these people are playing. Yeah, I think the Rasmussen poll in a year is going to, we're going to have a large majority. It was 54% were worried about the side effects. I think in a year, the survivors will be, you know, like 80-20. And so let's see how well they do getting to stuff people down with boosters at that point.
Well, go back to the original question, or the original topic was Fauci overhyping AIDS, overhyping COVID. Why? Well, because overhyping is marketing, it's advertising. And you have to look at it as a business. There's a quote provided by Robert F. Kennedy in his book on Fauci by Dr. John Abramson, of Harvard Medical School. And he goes, the first step is to give up the illusion that the primary purpose of modern medical research is to improve Americans' health most effectively and efficiently. In our opinion, the primary purpose of commercially funded clinical research is to maximize financial return on investment, not health. And that's Fauci's mission. Yeah. Is to funnel all that money to Big Pharma. He gets kickbacks and he gets praise. He's able to, by controlling research grant money, he's able to create acolytes, and of course, then there's, you know, all the news media brought to you by Pfizer. So we don't hear about, some of these other issues that the public should know, so they can be fully informed before they're injected with these experimental drugs.
I know we can't give medical advice. I mean, I'm not sure why we can't, but so we really can't. But I will say one thing. The entire medical industry is a death machine. I've had two friends that had hepatitis, and they each were, you know, the hepatitis was under control. They were in their 50s, each one of them. And they were talked into taking this new bone marrow whiz bang stem cell thing. Mm-hmm. And they were completely separate. One was in California, one was in Texas. And they both ended up with different kinds of lymphoma. One survived, but it's been, you know, debilitated. The other died. And I got a chance to read the release that my friend had signed before he went into MD Anderson, not to name a institution, but that's in Texas someplace. And it was literally releasing the institution from any liability from using an untested drug, which was disclosed to the individual, and any side effect, and that all of the data could be used by MD Anderson as part of their research project. So literally, this individual had been somehow talked into becoming a guinea pig.
Yeah.
You know, and then you ask yourself when I went through the thing, this was after the fact, I was asking about it, he got me this thing. And I looked at it and I go, you know, this is really amazing, because if you had just read this carefully before you just signed it and you walked in, and, you know, they'd gotten him frightened. You know, he's got hepatitis, but don't worry, we've got this, whiz bang cure. And, he ended up with a really bad result. But my point is that the people who created the document are psychopaths. Mm-hmm. They're literally using human beings in medical experiments. I mean, in the same way that Dr. Mengele would. And the other little tidbit is that They also gave him one little instruction. This is honest to God truth. They said, now, whatever you do, don't go on the internet and like start looking at, you know, research and things, stuff like that. Don't do that. They actually told him not to do that. I guess they were afraid it would create vaccine or, you know, medical hesitancy of some kind. But that was, you know, it was just, I'm sure that that phenomena is repeated over and over again in the United States. You know, they, what is it? Medical error is the third leading cause of death in the United States right now. So we've really got, I would call it a systemic problem inside of our country, you know, with medicine. And they also, then they have this, this clamp on top of the media where you can't criticize it because, you know, you're either evil or you can be sued or something. But I mean, there really needs to be a national discussion about.
Well, it's whether... like, yeah, it's like medical health and medicine is like national security. It's really, it's a harvesting system there. And it's an area where the public is told they don't know enough. They're not the experts. They don't get the intelligence. You know, you can't see what we see. So you know what the threats are out there. Same thing with medicine, relying on experts. And if you look into it, you realize the experts, these institutions that are there, either they're there to protect us, to provide national security, or to protect your health or look after us, have been long since been captured by oligarchic interests who look at the general population as cattle, you know, to be fed, fattened, and, you know, and slaughtered every so often. And that's, you know, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. The intelligence, you know, regulatory capture we've experienced is the same thing as, you know, the medical.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too complicated for citizens to understand. You have to trust us. We're sorry you're all dying and starving and enslaved, but we're doing our best. And don't criticize us because that will just make things worse.
Mm-hmm. Look at what they've done to the economy. Look at the inflation debacle now. And they're what? Why is there inflation? Well, because you printed $10 trillion and you shut down industry.
Yeah.
Shocked. Shocked. I mean, again, the price inflation.
Yeah, the pontificating, you know, that you get from like the Fed chief from Powell. I mean, it's so theatrical.
It's no longer transitory.
Yeah, it's not transitory. No, of course not. You printed $10 trillion in 14 months and you think that there won't be inflation.
How Biden says if he pass another $2 trillion bill of borrowed money that's all monetized, that'll help the situation. That'll help it.
Sure will. Because the economy will be stimulated and we'll be paying back or paying down our debt faster. I mean, this story has been told to the American public every year from 1950. It's completely ludicrous. You know, money is, it's just a device to control people's minds. It has no value. The dollar is, you know, the euro. These things could go away overnight. No, there's no real substance to any of them. They're just used to control us. It's a sad fact, but. It's a useful one to have because you can prepare a little bit better, I think, you know, with, you know, kind of a more independent economy. If you can do it in a local level, we have a bit of that here where I live because there's so many farmers.
Yeah.
You know, so if I wanted to exchange silver, for example, or barter with, you know, computer skills or, you know, something that I would have, you can easily do that at the farmers markets.
Yeah, and that's why they're trying to monopolize farmland, too.
Of course. And everyone knows that, though. The game is up. I mean, you know, people are aware now of what's going on. And so the independent farmers are really, you know, they are an aware group. Very interesting to see what this is, how this has occurred here in our local area. We have about 80 independent organic farmers, and they are wide awake. They kind of, under, you know, they that's why they're creating organic food is because they understand that the toxic soup we live in isn't accidental, mm-hmm. you know? And so we've all got to, you know, where I'm just lucky to have live in this particular area where there's a lot of that going on. But boy, if I was, you know, in Texas or, you know, Florida or something, I'd sure be trying to get some organic farming going on around me, because, you know, one can easily imagine the supply chains getting a little bit more fragile over time here going forward. And all that'll be left will be, fast food. I don't know if you saw the lawsuit that was successful against McDonald's that concluded last week, but basically the guy had sued McDonald's for selling poison, the whole lineup. I mean, every single thing. I mean, and he got a jury to agree with him. So, the reverse lessons from the COVID and the AIDS crisis. I mean, Tony Fauci, he's like a kind of a reverse lesson. You just do exactly the opposite of what tells you, you'll just be fine. But with AIDS, or excuse me, with COVID, you could see that the right approach was to improve your health. And the way to do that is pretty clear cut, right? Mm-hmm. The kind of foods, sort of, you know, got to get exercise, you know, these things, sunlight. I mean, gee, it's not very complicated. You just have to do it. And if you start doing it, guess what? You'll start having more energy and it'll be easier to do, you see? So the worst thing to do is to say, well, I'm too fat. I how will I ever be able to exercise? I mean, just do it. And, the natural changes will start to occur, and then the energy will be there to continue that kind of a lifestyle. And this is the same thing about, fighting the genocide by the New World Order. Is that the more you fight, the more energy you have. You don't become depressed. You actually start to energize because you start seeing opportunities to get stuff done. So, it's strange times, Tim. I mean, the revelation, to use an expression, that we're going through is, it's making people just crazy. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed it, but boy, I've seen some real, emotional outbursts that are very unusual, and they're all related to the lockdown and the disclosing to people that the vaccine is bad for them if they've taken it. I don't know if you've had this any kind of these discussions, but it's just impossible for, or very difficult for people to not become highly emotional, and just resist, thinking clearly about it, because I'm trying to talk people out of the boosters. I just think this is a terrible idea. And I just go, look, you should try to give informed consent to every single, time that they put these things in your body. They're all different. Every one you do has unique and maybe even compounding consequences. You want to give really informed consent if you're going to do a booster. I mean, you should, people, if someone is actually talking about taking a booster, man, they should be doing research for like a couple of weeks ahead of time, because the capacity to give informed consent becomes more complicated the more of these things you do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, okay, Joe.
All right, Tim. Well, thanks so much for the talk, and stay healthy, brother. We'll get them next week.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.